Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and this is Rick Green. How would you like to have his full testimony about where he got saved, how he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, about his dad who taught him how to be so prosperous, and how he's really hung up on the Constitution of the United States? Would you like that? I would, too.
All right.
Would you consider writing your own story?
You bet. Absolutely. That sounds great. Yes. Let's do it.
That's your next assignment.
All right. We'll have to talk about my mama singing with the Rambos in that book, too.
Really?
Yeah. She traveled the world with the Rambos. Even went to Nam with the Rambos. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Buck and Dottie were my godparents. I called them Grand Dot and Grand Buck.
Well,
Dottie taught me how to swim. And
Reba works with me.
No kidding.
And
My sister is named Reba after Reba Rambo.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It is a small
Dottie world. Was there when I was born. She made my mom walk up and down the street because she said, I got to go do a concert, and I'm not leaving until you have that kid.
Well, I've sung all their songs.
No kidding.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we shall... It was a sunset going down, and Dottie... We shall behold him.
Yeah.
She wrote it in 7 minutes.
Wow. Yeah.
How'd you like to have some of that action?
No kidding. She wrote like 3,000 songs.
Oh,
unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we can talk about that.
Yeah, you got it.
I share my appreciation to KCM for being such a wonderful and faithful outlet to serve our Lord. May God continue to lift you up and richly reward you for all the work you've been doing in the season to encourage everyone in this season. Thank you so much, not just for the abundance that you have provided through the BVOV broadcast, but also for the faith-to-faith devotional emails. Your messages have lifted me up and encouraged me to continue more times than I can count. Once again, thank you, T.A. from Florida.
Amen.
It's the Lord that gets the praise for these things.
Yeah.
Praise God. my spiritual father, Oral Roberts, said one day, he shocked me. He said, Kenneth, I've never made a mistake. I said, is that right? He said, well, no. I said, I never got up one morning and said, I'm going to make a mistake today. No, he said, but I did. But he said, my mistakes help me improve myself. And he said, I take my mistakes, I go to the Word and see how it applies, and I change myself. And I get to talking about him, I miss him,
you know,
about all the things he taught me.
That right there is a great lesson for even the young people today.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to him.
You get all depressed over a mistake you made.
Yeah.
Well, like Gloria said, get over it, you can't get it back.
That's right. That's right.
Now, not too long ago, I broke the commandment of love. I just flew off the handle. And a certain amount of pain in my body, that's no excuse for that.
Yeah.
The Bible calls them arrows. They're like bullets in a gun. Once they're said, you can't get it back.
Yeah.
Well, I had to go before that young man and repent. And let me remind you now, living by faith is a discipline. I get this from aviation. Flying is a discipline. Safety is an attitude. Checklist. Living by faith is a discipline. And it's a discipline. And victory is an attitude. And all of the scriptures, failure is not an option. We have known and believed the love of God. Be kind and helpful to one another. Ephesians 4:32, and all the scriptures that have to do with that. Well, victory has to be an attitude. You have to be completely through with failure. To do that, you have to study the Word and the blood covenants therein and realize they are backed by blood. The reasons for it and why. And exceeding great and precious promises. Exceeding great and precious blood-backed promises. First the blood of animals, then through the circumcision of men, and then, of course, the sinless blood of Jesus. So all of these things are attitudes.
I love the failure is not an option. There was a guy, Les Brown used to say, it's not over till I win.
That's right.
And you know, you think about even we talked about Washington so much this week. I mean, how many battles he lost initially. You know, it was tough in the beginning.
But you don't quit.
No, Sam Houston ran for how long before he, you know, we finally win at San Jacinto for Texas?
I'm telling you, he had Santana so figured that, and he's training these guys on a run.
Yeah.
And a whole lot of this he got from his Cherokee daddy.
Yeah.
So he had them on the run, and he's training them on the run. And what Santana didn't realize that once he had these guys on the move, and they're chasing him, and so he split up, and he caught him in a pincher music move in San Jacinto, and wham.
He was our Washington.
Yes, he was.
He really was. Our Texas, you know, he was Texas for sure. I don't know if you probably don't know this. I used to represent Gonzales, Texas when I was in the legislature, and that's our Lexington. You know, that's where the shot of the Texas Revolution began, and Sam Houston mustered the men there. It's the only place that answered the call from William Barrett Travis. 32 of them fought their way into the Alamo to die for freedom. They're known as the Immortal 32 in Gonzales. But I love that Texas history and that Texas spirit. Really, that come and take it spirit is what you're talking about there with that failure is not an option.
Yes. Failure is not an option.
Yeah.
And the line in the sand at the Alamo.
Yes.
And
you know, he was only 20, he was either 26 or 27, William Barrett Travis, at the time of that. I love telling these kids. We talked about Nathan Hale earlier this week, 21. Yesterday we talked about George Washington, Battle of Monongahela, is only 23. Sybil Ludington's a midnight rider, rides three times as far as Paul Revere, doesn't get caught like him. She's 16 at the time. There's so many great stories. We got to get back to telling those stories.
Yeah. Young.
Yeah, of young leaders that answered the call.
And Jim Bowie wasn't all that old.
I don't remember how old he was. Yeah.
He was young, man.
Yeah.
And Dave Crockett.
Yep.
It's just amazing.
Yeah.
So old men don't go to war. Old men support wars, unless you get into a situation where you have to.
I got a board member that says that. He says, old men don't go to war. Young men fight wars, but old men fund wars. So it's lives, fortunes, sacred honor. Yeah. We all got a part to play, right?
It is a fighting unit.
Yeah.
And it was the non-commissioned officers in World War II that each one is trained to take up the job of the next. Audie Murphy is the example. Just a young boy. He was so young and so small, nobody wanted him. But when he got in there, and they began to train him, and then something would happen, he'd just take the next guy's job. And he kept on receiving. He came up through the ranks. And he is the most decorated soldier in the history of the United States Armed Forces. Everything the United States has to offer, including the Congressional Medal of Honor.
I took my kids out to Arlington Cemetery 10 years ago. They were younger. And a state senator from here in Texas, Brian Birdwell, a good friend of mine, who had been injured at the Pentagon on the attack. Anyway, he's a state senator here now. He met us out there just to take us over to Audie Murphy's grave and tell the story. So as you're telling that, I was just picturing my kids, how they just were. The stories are amazing.
He was on his way to West Point, and he was injured, so he couldn't go to West Point. And the reason I'm saying this, he was defending the Constitution of the United States. And it was so embedded that I cannot imagine, Rick, I can't imagine anybody taking that oath that loves this country. I cannot imagine anybody that didn't affect.
Yeah.
But there are those that said, no, I'm not going to war. I came into the Army to get an education. Well, who do you think you are? You took that oath. You stood there and held up your hand. It didn't mean a thing. not one thing. It was a way, amends to what you wanted to do. Forget the country.
Yeah. Earlier this week, we mentioned that line from America the Beautiful, more than self-country love. It's back to that self-sacrifice, that willingness to serve. I think, too, we're reaching a point. There's this great line in the Declaration of Independence. Most people know when I do the frame, I talk about the 56 words. Most people out there recognize those. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. We're endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That's the frame. That's the four main principles we talk about in the book. But the next line says that when any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. Now, I'm not an anarchist at all. I don't think you abolish all government. That's anti-biblical. Government's a God-created institution. We're blessed to have government. And when government's in its lane, it's a blessing. When it's outside its lane, it's a curse. But I think what Jefferson was telling us was that if you want to stop the tough times, we the people have to be the ones to say we're going to alter or abolish. So alter your government back to a constitutional republic, abolish the parts of government that we never gave it permission to have, like the Department of Education at the federal level and some of these other things. And I think that's part of what people are starting to get a hold of. They don't feel as helpless as they used to. We're starting to say government does answer to us. Consent of the governed, that last line I was reading, if the whole purpose of government is to secure these rights, and it's our job to give or refuse consent. If we're not giving or refusing consent, government will assume you've consented and take over more and more of your life. So our job as citizens is to be willing to say, I give consent for this, I don't give consent for that, to be engaged, to raise our children to be good citizens, to encourage them to run for office someday maybe, or at least support candidates, kind of like that going to war thing. You may not be the one to go run for office, but you can donate to a candidate, whether it's $5 or making a sign for them.
And you can pick up the phone.
And make some calls and tell people and or call your congressman and talk to them about what's going on. Yeah.
I mean, it's published. The phone number's published.
Yeah. And people think that doesn't make a difference. I'm telling you, I was there as a legislator. It doesn't take that many letters or calls before you go, wait a minute, what's going on here? Why are so many people calling me on this issue? I need to dive into this a little bit more. I mean, literally 10 or 15 or 20 calls on the same subject will get a state rep's attention. And you can go sit down with your state rep typically, and maybe even your state senator. Congressman's a little harder to actually get the meeting, but at least have that communication, like you're saying. Pick up the phone. Make a little bit of effort. I break it down like this. I tell everybody, if you'll spend 2 hours a week doing a Constitution class, and by the way, our Constitution classes are not boring. They're entertaining. We have one called Biblical Citizenship in Modern America. A million people have been through it. It's David Barton and Tim Barton and Kirk Cameron and all these folks. Anyway, spend 2 hours a week studying the Constitution or hosting a class. Give 2% of your income to candidates or causes or ministries or whatever. Just start giving to freedom. If people are talking about freedom, if they're protecting freedom, invest in it. And then your reputation, that's sacred honor. So lives, mm-hmm, fortune, mm-hmm, sacred honor, mm-hmm, your reputation. Making that call you just talked about, or telling your friends or writing a letter to the editor, that's putting your reputation, just sharing a post on your social media at this point. But that's standing up and saying, I'm going to stand for truth. I'm going to give my life, my fortune, and my sacred honor, because others did it for me. And frankly, it's the parable of talents. We've been given that talent of freedom. We better start being willing to do those things.
Now, Gloria and another woman got on Governor Bush. They wrote letters. They made calls to the state of Texas. And so I had met him through James Robinson and prayed for him, laid hands on him.
Yeah.
And then we were, he was going in for the next term. Everybody knew he was going to become president. He came over there and he said, Kenneth, what can I do to get in good with Gloria? You think he didn't? He changed those books. He didn't know about it. I said, Governor, through the... a personal tour through the Met. He said, done. Well, he became president. And I was out of town. But I have pictures of George Bush with his arm around my wife, Gloria, taking her through his library. And you think those calls didn't count?
Yeah.
I mean, it disturbed him. Gloria wouldn't let up on him.
You'll love this. When he was governor, I got elected first time. So I'm 1998. And when I ran for the House, I lost on election night by 20 votes.
Oh.
Out of 30,000. I'm thinking, man, that's in Texas, that's one homeschool family. That's a joke. Anyway, actually, it's not a joke for some of my friends that are homeschooled that have that many. Anyway, so we had a recount. And we looked at every ballot. This is also an argument for paper ballots, but we looked at every ballot.
We have to go back.
We've got to. And I won by 36 votes. I looked at my opponent and I said, hey, Texas law says we can do a second recount if you want to make sure we got it right. He's like, man, I don't want to do it again. He said, I don't like the fact you won, but you won. So nobody claimed cheating, any of that. So we definitely need to go back to that. But here's the funny part is I lost by 20. I won by 36. And George W. Bush is governor. And so he calls me and he says, Green, he said, I'm nicknaming you Landslide Green. From then on, he said, that was close.
Instead of ballot box Johnson.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but that is a good thing to fight for and encourage your congressman to do is getting back to paper ballots. That is so important to guarantee the election integrity.
Think of what the world would look like if America had been established without these moral absolutes. Mm. To help your imagination a little, think of what outcome would have been the atomic bomb that had been in the hands of someone in power and control with morals of Hitler instead of in our hands, the million of lives lost in World War II would have been multiplied by tens of thousands.
Yeah. Yeah, think about even the... I get so upset with the way these universities now make America the bad guy. And we've got our national sins. I mean, every nation on the planet had slavery in 1776, so we can talk about that if you want. But they actually try to make kids feel bad for Truman's decision to drop the bomb. They don't talk about any of the history.
No.
They don't talk about the fact that we warned and warned and warned, tried to get them to surrender. They wouldn't surrender. We dropped the first bomb. They see how bad it is. We beg them to surrender. They still wouldn't surrender. We gave them a couple of days. I mean, it was a death culture with Japan. It ended up having to happen. But I say all that to say this. If it had been a Hitler or somebody else with the power to use those bombs, they would have made the entire world submit to their tyranny.
Albert Einstein had been kicked out of Germany because he's a Jew.
Yeah. Thank you, Hitler.
Yeah. He went to President Roosevelt and said, I have it, MC equals square. He said, it is an awesome release of energy. And I have from my contacts in Germany that Hitler's already working on it. Well, they were. And I understand it was at Putamendo where they developed the rockets. And I might add that Wernher von Braun surrendered to people, the United States forces, just as fast as he could, the rocket guy. And they said, why? He said, because America's the country of the Bible.
Mm, wow.
And he was chasing us
to
keep them getting in the hands of the Russians.
Man.
But anyway, and he convinced President Roosevelt, he said, you better do it now. And they started the Manhattan Project right then. And, of course, you know the rest of the story.
Well, and think about afterwards, too. I mean, we're the only nation I know of in history that was willing to do this. We took our own money, and we went and rebuilt the very nations that had attacked us. We send over Deming and all these guys and teach them constitutional, a free market economy, all of those principles that made our nation great, which all come from the Bible. We took and exported that to these nations that had literally tried to destroy us. There's something different about our value system. And when these professors in these colleges try to tell these kids that America's evil and bad and all these things, they only tell the bad and the ugly. They don't tell the good. And what we need to be showing these kids is what's different about America is that it was built on truth. We hold these those moral values. And that's why we made the decisions to do the things. That's why our young men and women have been willing to go around the world and die so that other people could be free, not only to defend us, but to help other people. We've exported freedom around the nation.
We still have a scientific unit today that is still going sifting through enormous amounts of DNA in Korea, Vietnam, trying to find the remains of American soldiers so that their families get closure. There's no other note. Any other nation in the world has just counted it off and forgot about it.
And you remember during Desert Storm, if I remember right, General Powell making that statement about the only land we've ever asked for was enough to bury our dead. So people that act like we're an imperial kind of conquering nation or whatever, we've sent our people over there to free other nations, to lay down their lives like that, and then not conquer, not stay in control. You know, it's such a unique story, and it's only a nation and only a story that could happen being based on
God. I had the privilege of being with another chaplain, not only Chaplain Downing, but another chaplain that I knew. And I preached at Fort Drum, New York, and we were the only ministry allowed to receive offerings because we would match the offerings and give them to the chaplain corps. Well, a lot of our guys were in the war, and they took body bags. They took body bags and built these tanks and put the body bags in there to seal it and made baptismals out of it. Huh. And they were baptizing soldiers in the field.
Oh, wow.
They were getting them saved and baptizing them in the field in body bags. And so they said, this is what body bags ought to be the way you do.
Yeah.
And then I preached at West Point, but anyway, and I preached on spirit, soul, and body. Mm. What happens to the soul when it dies and so forth. And then some of the cadre would come in their civilian clothes and said, why aren't we teaching this?
Yeah.
So
that's laying the foundation on the principles of truth. You know, Jefferson said that too, that it, right there in the Declaration, he said, when you do alter or abolish and put new guards for your security, you got to lay the foundation on that's such right. principles and organize the powers, which is what the Constitution does later. But you got to do that on the principles that will make the nation strong.
Praise
and
God.
Thank the good Lord that our founders were readers of the Bible. There was a historian, I forget his name, but he called it, he said the atmosphere they were breathing was Christianity. So because these guys were
good.
So enthralled and so ingrained with the Word of God, reading through it every year, it comes out in the Declaration, it comes out in the Constitution, it comes out in the way they govern. It's just, it's all throughout that history, and there's been an effort to erase it, and I think that effort is going to fail. I think we're bringing it back, and they tried everything they could to put that lamp out, but they're not going to be able to silence the Word of God in our country anymore. The Coach Kennedy case is a big, big change for us. I mean, that opened so many doors. The jail cell's open, but a lot of believers don't realize it. They don't realize they can just push that door open now and express their faith publicly and get the Ten Commandments up.
Yes, sir.
You know, national motto and the nativity scenes, I mean, all that. You're about to see a resurgence of religious liberty in this country.
Well, and one of the most telling things in Mr. Trump's presidency is to get this nation financially stable again.
Yeah.
Social Security checks going out to people that are 120 years old.
Yeah.
And nobody cared enough to turn them back in. Well, I started praying about this. I remember when I didn't have to pay any taxes. That's no fun. I remember when I was making 88 and a half cents an hour. I also remember, and so does Gloria, when we didn't have enough to buy groceries, she had to pay in tongues to get out of the store. So the Lord said to me, I was praying over the nation, he said, what are you going to do about it? So I started adding to my taxes to put on the government debt.
Wow.
And each year, I double it a little. I'm prospering. And my taxes are the seed to that. Amen. And we're out of time. Mm-hmm. For now. Glory to God.
What has made the United States of America truly exceptional? It's not the American dream, but the framework the Founding Fathers built that protects and makes that dream possible. In his book, Freedom's Frame, Rick Green, former Texas state representative and constitutional expert, reveals the biblical foundations of liberty and freedom that brought God's success to the United States and why preserving them is more urgent than ever. Because if the frame breaks, the picture falls. Learn how faith in God not only inspired the birth of our republic, but is the key to preserving our freedom. This isn't just a history lesson. It's a call to action, a guide to understanding the truth behind the blessings Americans enjoy every day. Learn how you can take a stand to defend those blessings so the gift of freedom will be passed to the next generation. Now more than ever, we can have hope for a rebirth of freedom in America. Freedom's Frame by Rick Green is available at a special price of only $14.99. Order yours today on kcm.org/TV special or when you call 800-600-7395. Our founding fathers designed the portrait of America's freedom within a beautiful framework, Freedom's Frame. Those biblical principles of freedom from God resulted in our nation's success and prosperity. This offer is good for 60 days. Outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply.
Listen to me now. There is no authority except from God and from those. Think about that. Everything. I don't care what it is. God's behind the good. It's been instituted by God. This nation was instituted by God. You've got to get Rick Green's book. You hear me? Freedom's Frame. It'll give you the biblical overview that'll inspire you about the Constitution of the United States and the freedom of this nation and the resurgence and the revival that's already begun. Think about what happened at Asbury. Amen. Brother Hagin was praying about that for years. I prayed about it for years. And it's already begun. It's happening now. So don't major up on the bad stuff. Major up on the good stuff. Pray over the bad stuff and God will fix that.
Right.
You can get it at kcm.org. Now listen to me. If you need prayer, our prayer team here are trained. They are trained in how to agree with you. They are trained in how to help you in life. They're not people that we don't just ship it off somewhere else. No, they're right here on property. And you need to realize that. And the number, of course, will come up there on your screen. We just praise God that you are with us today. And there is coming a greater revival than we've ever seen in this nation. I heard it in my spirit. And right now I see it in the spirit. And it's laying across this nation on what Rick is teaching about the Constitution and what others are doing. It is laying across this nation like a cool wind. And it's blowing in the hearts of our young people. It's blowing in the hearts of people. And we'll talk about it, and we'll learn about it, and we'll know about it. This is Kenneth Copeland and Rick Green and all of the class reminding you that God loves you, and we love you, and Jesus is Lord. Yes. I said yes. I said yes. I said yes.
Find out more about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and how we can help you grow in faith. Visit our website, kcm.org.